Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Friday night lights, the whole town's here. Bands playing loud, you can feel the cheer.
The Thompson Tractor Prep clean. Sports Report.
Letter in my hand, drums pound the beat. I'm a warrior in the land.
Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Whistles blowing, crowd on his feet, sweat in the air, it's time to compete. But all that noise, it drifts away when it's just you and me in this four-quarter frame. Yeah, I know you felt me in the heat of the fight. We battled.
And good, beautiful Saturday morning to you as we welcome you to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Glad that you are hanging out with us on this chilly day, the first Saturday of 2025. Happy New Year to everybody. I'm Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Glaster. Coach Rick, Happy New Year to you, my brother.
Happy New Year, Randy, and prayers for New Orleans, and hope everybody's New Year got started off with a jump start, and everybody's full of fire and vinegar.
Fire and vinegar.
There you go.
Mark, do you have fire and vinegar?
He's always got fire and vinegar.
That's a combination I don't know if I've ever had.
Wow.
It could be, but, man, it's a great, great day to wake up and feel the coolness in the air on January the 4th, and, you know, it's just a beautiful day outside, and what a better way to spend my morning drinking coffee with you two knuckleheads. I really am glad I'm here to see you guys this morning.
Well, thank you very much. Hope you had a wonderful holiday.
Great holiday. Yeah. Great time with family. It's my favorite time of the year. The Christmas holidays are always one of my favorite times. And, man, just getting to see the kids and their family and then go up and see mom and dad and that's really good stuff.
Yeah, sure is. And Rick, I know you get to spend a little time with your family as well.
A little bit. Those grandchildren always make us feel young, but leave old. That's what they do.
They wear you out, don't they?
I'm telling you right now, it's just great to see them and don't get to spend as much time as we would love to. But Clay's got a house full now. He's got four running around over there. And, you know, Hunter Kate came into the world, and now they got two babies right there in the house, and he and Brooke are, boy, they're tired all the time, I know. That's just it's a blessing to see those two young'uns, and then Taylor and Turner are growing up and always doing something that's hopefully progressive. You know, when they get that age, they get 15 and 12, and it's just fun to watch them and see how they react to situations, and just it's just a fun time in your life when you have grandchildren. I just wish I was a little bit closer to them sometimes.
I understand.
I understand that for sure. Hey, you know, we're going to be obviously talking a lot of prep today. Here's a question for you. Where does Super 7 relocate?
Well, we're going to spend some time talking about that, and that's, you know, that's the question. We all kind of thought that we'd know something by now about that, but I think there's pros and cons to all places, and I kind of think that Birmingham is the lead dog in that race, but I think Mobile's really picking up a lot of steam right now. Danny Courtney. Well, we got Corleys and Courtneys and all that.
But there ain't but one Danny Courtney.
Ain't but one Danny Courtney.
Ain't but one.
And, you know, he has really done a yeoman's job.
He has.
And he does a lot of it. I'm talking about he travels to Montgomery to do everything he can to get something good going on down here in Mobile. He's kind of a one-man show in a lot of situations. And, of course, he's got help. But Danny's he's done a tremendous job with this situation. We're trying to get a Super 7 here. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we move forward.
One of the things, too, is I'll talk about some of the coaching changes. There's still some vacancies out there.
Oh, there are. We had 44 coaching changes up to this point. And I think we've still got 31 jobs that are vacant, included one that you're real familiar with, Mark, and we want to spend a little time talking about is the Benjamin Russell job is open again. So that's one that I think a lot of people are really interested in. Otago Academy just jumped into the AHSAA, and that job is open again now. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Those people in Prattville are super, super excited about what goes on out there. But Prattville's got a new head coach as well, and that's one that we'll spend some time talking about as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement going around with coaches and people looking for jobs here and there and for whatever reason, trying to find the right fit. And to me, that's the whole thing, is the right fit.
In all of your years, y'all's coaching years, have you ever seen it this crazy like this?
There are some – well, for me, Rick, I don't know about – I've seen it where it's even crazier.
Yeah.
Where there's been even more jobs. One year, I remember there was nearly 70 openings in the state
of
Alabama.
That's been in the last 5 years.
Yeah. And then some years, it's just kind of quiet. You know, you don't have many. It's in the 20s and 30s, jobs open. It just, they just don't come open for whatever reason. But I think you're going to see more and more movement, you know, coaches finding places where they want their family. You know, I know that was always a big thing for me, was finding a place I could put my family and coach ball and enjoy coaching in that community. So it's an important thing, man. It's a hard thing to do sometimes, but sometimes it's just a rash of them, and sometimes it's not many at all.
Well, obviously one of the big topics, too, going around, and we've talked about it quite a bit, we're going to talk about it a little bit more today, is NIL. Obviously, we've seen it from the collegiate ranks and what it's doing, and it's dribbling right into high school.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. Since the end of the regular football season, I've just watched this NIL and transfer portal, and the two are hand in hand now. You can separate them all you want to, but the two kind of go hand in hand as who's offering who more money and this kind of thing. And there's actually agents in it, but it is going to trickle down into high school. It already has.
Yep.
And I dread that. I really do dread that, because I just don't think that's – I wish if we're going to – in college, I see some of it in college about how much guys are making for the university and playing sports, you know, there at the university. And it should be, to me, a blanket amount of money if you're going to pay – it ought to be just a – if you're going to pay him, if we're going to do that, if we're going down that road, which we have to do now because of the court order, once you do that – but I just think it ought to be an X amount of dollars for everybody who does this, X amount of dollars who are this position or this first string or second string or whatever. And then, and it's all the same across the board. Everybody makes the same amount of money basically, or within a given amount. Not that you can go and actually be recruited by another university for a shoe contract or $10 million for an endorsement of this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
There are no longer amateur athletes.
Right. There's a question here. What court order are you talking about?
It was the one when they had the EA Sports thing, you know, and that started with those guys about,
it's a basketball player.
It was a game. It was about the game, you know, and they started, and that's where it all began when they sued them.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, now, once that has started, you're going to have to pay these players.
But you're talking about college players now.
Yes, not high school.
Yeah. Well, that's
where
the question.
It starts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't clarify that. Because that's where it is prevalent right now. It's not there's no court order in high school.
Well, but – and really, Randy can – that y'all can talk about that on your show, the college thing. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
There's no doubt.
The thing that we really want to talk about as far – and you're exactly right. That's exactly where it started with that EA Sports and name, image, and likeness.
Right.
But there is no name, image, and likeness now. If you think there's a name, image, and likeness,
no.
you're living in a hole, and it's got a cover over it, because – it's just not. All it is pay for play.
Right.
That's what it is in college. But in high school, the reason we're talking about this today is because it's hit Alabama very hard. We've lost three of the most outstanding high school basketball players, including the player of the year, the Gatorade player of the year last year from Buckhorn, who we've lost them. They've gone to Georgia. And they're playing, for money. And that's where we want to get into is how are schools paying high school players? Well, really, schools aren't paying them. Mm-hmm. The people that are paying them the, quote, NIL, unquote, money are the shoe companies. Those are the people that are paying mm-hmm. them. And they're represented by agencies that represent the shoe companies. And the shoe companies go in and offer players X amount of dollars to come play at XYZ High School in Georgia where NIL is legal. That's where we are.
Bottom line, it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It is.
All right, we'll take our first time out. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name and lights above it. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true. So won't you smile for the camera? I know they're gonna love it.
I like your Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Hey, Coach, let's turn real quick and talk a little volleyball. Mobile, Baldwin County area.
Yeah, you know, we won four state volleyball championships here this year, and you know, a lot of really good players. McGill, I think McGill won their third straight, right. And they beat Bob Jones, and Bob Jones is the largest school in the state.
That's right.
I'm telling you, and that's a big deal. Spanish Fort won the 6A. UMS Wright won their first ever state championship volleyball title. And, boy, the job Wing Brett did there was absolutely phenomenal. And Mobile Christian won the 3A. Mm-hmm. The only state championships we didn't win in volleyball were 1A, 2A, and I think, what would that be, 4A? That's the only three that we didn't win. And had some outstanding players. And I'm, you know, and Ben Thomas and those guys do such a great job of recognizing these teams. And Orange Beach was in the Final Four. St. Luke's was in the Final Four. Bayside was in 7A, where they should never have to be, but they are. Them and Fairhope were there. Gulf Shores was in 6A. St. Michael's was in 4A. Washington County was in 2A, and even Millery was in the state.
They all made the Elite Eight.
Yeah, sure. And that's excuse me, boy, I don't know what that was. Some of the outstanding players this year, Callie Boykin from Spanish Fort. She's a setter, and she's a heck of a player. Bennett Bulow from St. Paul's. Her mom and dad were both outstanding athletes at St. Paul's. Greer Broughton from Bayside Academy, Mark. Yeah. She's a really outstanding player. Carolyn Downey from Spanish Fort. Caden Enzor from Satsuma, who plays for one of our favorite people. This is a girls' coach, and she's retiring at Satsuma.
God.
There you go.
Brain lock. God, she's going to kill me if she's listening. Holy.
Parker Goff from Faith Academy had a great year. Cammie Huff from McGill Tulin. Taylor Ishmael from Spanish Fort, Josie J from UMS Wright, Ella Lomax from Daphne, Catherine McLean from McGill Tulin, Melissa Patel from Mobile Christian, Charlie Pierce from Sarah Land, Hannah Pierce from Sarah Land, Addie Roach from Orange Beach, Haley Robinson from Bayside Academy, Libby. Does that give you any kind
Libby
of
Libby Hoffman.
There you go. Libby Hoffman. The
Lord, I had brain. Like, man, well, I'm telling you what, I'm getting senile.
You're over there trying to, he's over there trying to Google Luke.
I was looking at my contact. I know she's in there.
Yeah, well, Libby Lord Hoffman's heaven. Done a great job. Well, and I think she retired in January,
if I'm not mistaken. She's retiring.
Amelia Smith over at St. Luke's. Sophia Sobol at Gulf Shores. And Ella Claire Sullivan of UMS Wright were the all area, I guess you can call it the region team selected by the Mobile Press Register. Even though we don't get the Mobile Press Register at home, we get it online if you go to AL.com. And so congratulations to all of those young ladies, and congratulations to all the coaches that won state championships. Boy, I'm telling you, McGill Tulin's in three in a row. That young lady there has done a tremendous job. And You know, and Spanish Fort's been really, really good. So when you win the 6A and the 7A, and then you drop down and UMS wins the 5A, that's big to win.
Pretty
the
good
yeah,
now.
To win the big school titles.
Melania Haynes from Mobile Christian, she was the player of the year.
Yeah.
And she had and she's an outside setter, region second best, 628 kills, 466 assists, 35 blocks, 379 digs, and 93 aces. That's pretty strong.
That is strong.
That is. Mm.
And I think the attacker, they give an attacker of the year award. That was Paris McWhirter from McGill Tulin, 5'10 outside hitter, a senior. She had 592 kills, 65 blocks, 335 digs, and 17 aces. The most valuable defensive player was M.K. Whitehurst from Bayside Academy, played for Ann there, and she was
quite a player.
She was a libero. And the setter MVP was Alice Wood from McGill, played for Kay Wood there at McGill. And the coach of the year, who is it?
But Wing Brett.
Wing Brett. Congratulations to Wing, longtime volleyball coach at Gulf Shores, and did a great job down there. And when he retired from public schools, came to UMS Wright and has coached a little bit of everything, but this year took over the volleyball program and did a great job winning the school's first volleyball state championship. Congratulations to all of those young ladies and to Coach Wing Brett as well.
Hey, you know, there's one thing before, Randy, I'm sorry.
No.
When I was watching our girls play basketball the other night, there's a girl on this list who's from Bayside who her name's Misty Kate Smith.
Right.
She is honorable mention outside hitter in volleyball. She's also plays basketball. She's also a tremendous, I think she plays keep for our soccer girls soccer team. You know, we talk about boys a lot of times being three-sport athletes and four-sport athletes.
Yep.
I mean, here's one, Misty Kate Smith, who plays three, and I mean she is good at – she'll probably make the press register – in some way, shape, or form, in basketball and soccer as well. She's a tremendous athlete, and even a better, a delightful kid. Just what a wonderful smile she's always got on her face. But I want to throw a little shout out to a three-sport athlete, and there are more. I just happen to remember her. I watched her play the other night, and I saw her on this list. What a tremendous athlete!
That's awesome. I got a text here. The text asked, what is a kill and what is a dig?
A kill is when it's a spike.
Yeah.
That's what I always called it. And I always called it that because I never got to do one. I mean, I jumped up one time and I spiked it and it went under the net. But girls,
good gracious, Mark.
they set the kill is when the ball is up and they spike it it's a one-shot deal where it goes down and then they score the point. A dig, if I'm not mistaken, and if I get this wrong, Ann Schilling is going to hang me. But a dig is when a ball is hit, whether it's a kill shot or it's just hit, and it's going to the ground, and they dig it off the ground. They dive down to get their hands under it and dig it back up. And they happen on every serve. Every volley, just about. There's somebody who has to dig one off the ground. I think that's the way that's called. I'm not a volleyball coach, so you volleyball coaches, if I did that wrong, please correct me. And don't shoot me.
Lord have mercy, Mark. You know, and we played basketball last night and really kind of kicked off the post-Christmas stuff, even though there's been a plethora of Christmas tournaments all over the area.
Yeah.
And trying to keep up with that is tough enough. But last night we had a lot of regular season games. I know that Michael Knapp came over and brought the UMS Wright team to Bayside last night,
right,
which I didn't know. They come away with a big win, I think 51 to – let's see what that win was. I thought I had it, but UMS did defeat Bayside last night, and that was a good win for Michael Knapp, who's really had a real good preseason. And I'm going to get that score before I lose it here. They beat Bayside 57-41. Vigor defeated St. Paul's last night 55-44. We'll try Theodore defeated Murphy 61-56 in boys. Kind of rambling here, but we'll give you some scores. Saraland 52, Blount 41 in boys. Prattville defeated Tallahassee last night. Prattville's basketball has had a good Christmas break. I've seen a couple of their wins. Mountain Brook defeated McAdory. Mountain Brook's had a great run in high school basketball. They had a coach, Coach Bucky McMillan, that mm-hmm. left Mountain Brook and went and took the Samford job, has done a tremendous job there. And now their new coach has played in state championship a couple of times, I know. So just kind of bouncing around on those scores. We'll try to give you some more basketball scores, particularly girls, in later in the show.
All right, let's take another time out. When we come back, we'll have more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report set up for you. When we get back, don't touch that dial.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air already. Yes, sir, we want the ball, and it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back, when your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got us all, the boys are fall.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Coach, you know we got a lot of great sponsors of the show, and one particular, Premier Collision, we love talking about them.
Well, we do. Premier Collision's your local auto body repair shop, owned and operated locally here in Mobile. Auto body services include painting, body work, and more. And, you know, we've all been involved with Premier Collision, and that's kind of what brought us into bringing them in as a sponsor, because they do such a great job. And, Mark, I know you've just had a vehicle that was a – antique relic that came back looking like a brand new showroom floor car. So we appreciate everything that Chris and Kim Garris do there. And you know, you go into Premier Collision, you feel like you're at home. It's 1177 Sledge Drive here in Mobile. You can reach them at 251-478-4500. They're closed on weekends, but you get in there first thing Monday morning and they will be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to do anything and everything they can to help you fix your fender bender, whatever you've had. They will take great care of you. Just give Chris or Kim a call there at 251-478-4500. That's Premier Collision right there on 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile.
Them folks do a great, great job, I'm telling you. Yesterday I'd gotten my truck, and I just stopped and looked at it for a minute going, boy, that didn't look like my truck. I almost got in the wrong one. But that was it. It looks so good. They just do a great job. Great job. And they're so – I like the way they communicate with you about what's going on with your vehicle. So you're not just wondering all the time what's going on. They let you know what's happening and what they're going to do, and then they get it done, and it – looks like it came off the showroom floor.
You know, we were talking earlier about Super 7. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but initially, before Mobile threw their hat in the ring, I really thought that Birmingham was going to get everything. I thought they would keep Super 7. I thought they would keep basketball. And I really thought that that was the place to have everything. As this thing has progressed more and more, I see the need for Super 7 to move around to different locations. I'm really glad Mobile is presented what they've presented. I think all three places have pluses and minuses. Birmingham is essentially, I guess you could call it, a location that really benefits the northern part of the state, sure, more so than the southern. They have a great stadium and protective stadium there in Birmingham. They have plenty of facilities as far as suites and all of that is concerned. They have plenty of dressing rooms to be utilized. There is a plethora of hotel rooms to be utilized there in Birmingham. So they don't really have a minus that I know of. Montgomery was thrown in there, and I have no idea why Montgomery was thrown in there, because they threw Alabama State Stadium in there to be the site to where Super 7 was played. And let me tell you, Alabama State has gone out of their way to do everything they could to work with and to facilitate the needs of the AHSAA when bringing events into into Montgomery. I just don't feel like, as far as parking is concerned, what Montgomery has proposed is to park at Crampton Bowl and then to bus the fans over to the stadium there at Alabama State. I love what they've done. I think that's a beautiful stadium right there off the interstate. I don't know about their dressing room facilities. I don't know if they have ample space. I think you need to have at least four dressing rooms where maybe we can go back to playing two games a day. But you've got to have at least four dressing rooms. You really, really do. I don't feel real good about the parking facilities at Alabama State. But I do feel like they have some pluses as far as it being a centrally located location. Mobile has everything that you could ask. They have a great stadium in Hancock Whitney Stadium. They have a wonderful press box with suites that will work out perfect for accommodating that which AHSAA wants. They have plenty of parking. There's plenty of hotels that will meet the demands of the people that are coming into Mobile. The only thing that I see may be a sticking point may be that we don't have four locker rooms, but I think that the University of South Alabama will accommodate that for them. I think Birmingham and Mobile have the best opportunity to move that location to different sites. I don't think it'll ever be as good as we had it when we had it in Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, and Auburn. I think that was perfect. But now that we're in the situation we're in with the NCAA and playoff games being a possibility on both campuses at Tuscaloosa and Auburn, I think that we do need to move it. I think Mobile, it needs to have their shot. I think Mobile really needs to have their shot. I wouldn't mind Montgomery if we could find equitable parking and equitable press box facilities. And they've done a lot of work at Crampton Bowl. I don't know if that meets the demands of what the AHSAA wants. And plus, there's still – you got to pay to get these games. I'm just telling you.
Let me ask you this. Is Crampton Bowl – don't they have plenty of parking around that?
Oh, yeah. Parking's not a problem.
Parking's not an issue at Crampton Bowl.
No, that's not an issue.
But now, the Alabama State, I've only seen that stadium from the interstate.
Yeah.
But, man, it looks like it's an impressive sight.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful.
As you go by it.
Well, they can seat 22,000. They can seat 16 on one side, the side that you see the furthest from the interstate, and then 6,000 on this side. And I understand that because they were really out of space.
Sure.
And so they have a big Scantron.
Jumbo.
They have the big jumbo board. Everybody does. Birmingham, Montgomery, and Mobile have that. There's probably still a few sticking points that those of us on the outside aren't aware of. But I do think it's got to be moved as far as this. I think it would be much more equitable for us to play in different sites to give different areas of the state, different regions of the state, an opportunity to host our state championships.
I agree. I do. And I look at it. I like the fact that when it was at Auburn and Tuscaloosa and Birmingham,
yeah,
all three of those are relatively centrally located in our state.
Right.
When you go to an extreme end, whether it's like for a soccer in Huntsville in the springtime.
Right.
You know, and if you go to Mobile, you're talking about a team from Huntsville, or let's take Mars Hill, for example. They win, aren't they, up there now around Decatur?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's a long trip. You're talking about a 5.5 to 6 hour ride. You know, and there are some places you just can't get to Mobile.
Right.
You know, if you're way up in the northeast corner of the state, right, up near Stevenson and that area up in there, that's a long way to travel. And you have to think, you know, those kids, you're going to put them up overnight. You got to put them in a hotel. Your travel becomes, I mean, most folks go, you know, I don't care. We're going with state championship, wherever right. it is. Let's do it. But it does become a bit of a problem. But if it's moved, you know, every year to where nobody has to make that same journey every single year. Of course, you're not going to get back there. Most schools don't get this deal every year. But then I think it's okay. But that would be the only, to me, for coming to Mobile, the only detriment is the length of travel from North Alabama down. But once they get here, I mean, my gosh, to me, this is the place to be. You got everything you could want here in Mobile. You got the best food places around, in my opinion. You take your families out to eat. Your team can go out to eat. And great, got great places. And most people will come down, make a trip of it, and go down to the beach, you know, or someplace where they can go visit while they're down here.
Well, I think, too, what it does is for that student that's graduating, maybe it gives them a – maybe they haven't been to South Alabama. Maybe they say, you know what? Hey, I might like it down here. And it gives South Alabama an opportunity to.
You know, and you don't think about that much. I'll tell you a little quick little story. Took a kid one year. We were going to the state wrestling tournament in Huntsville. And this is when I was at Alexander City. And we left and went up there. And one of our wrestlers, he was our 185-pound wrestler. He's sitting next. We're in this Japanese restaurant eating after the tournament was over, and we were eating a big meal, getting ready to head back home, and he looks at me and he says, "Coach, I've never seen anything like this." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Coach, I've never been out of Alexander City." Kid was 18 years old.
Yeah,
he had never left Alexander City. Maybe he had gone to Dadeville or Auburn, I think maybe, but he had never traveled to Huntsville. Never been there. And it was like a hole. And he's sitting there watching. He goes, "I never knew." I noticed him at first when that guy started throwing those knives up in the air. You know how they did? They throw them up and catch him. Yeah. It's kind of going, "Whoa, I don't know if I need to be here." But I thought, man, that's true. You know what you're saying there. Some of these kids never been to Mobile. Never been to South Alabama.
Yep.
It's a chance for them to see something. And, man, what a great – and I'll tell you something. That's Hancock Whitney is as fine a stadium as you'll ever see. Beautiful stadium, beautiful place.
And I think that's a big drawing point that I hope the AHSAA and our new director, Heath Harmon, I hope that, and he's made several trips to Mobile, but and I would hope that the University of South Alabama athletic director, I've been told that he's all in, full throttle. I would hope that'd
would
be a big drawing point.
Big drawing point, yes,
sir. If that gets you 100 students over a 2-year period, that's a big draw.
That's a lot of money.
That's a big draw.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big draw.
Good stuff. All right, take our final time out of this hour. When we come back, Coach Rick has got our leadership segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Hey, glad you're hanging out with us right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleland, Coach Mark Laster, and it is time for our leadership segment with Coach Rick Cleland.
You know, one of the things that we really love about being on board with 68 Ventures is each year they have a leadership conference, and this year is called Chasing Greatness, and it's going to be on January the 9th at the Grand Hotel, and there's 10 days left to purchase tickets. Now, you people that are business people that listen to us, let me tell you, there is no better place for your executive directors or whomever is the leader of your business. You don't want to miss this, Chasing Greatness on January the 9th at the Grand Hotel. 10 days left to purchase tickets, for less than that now, because we're on now on the 4th of January, so there's 5 days left. This year's conference promises a dynamic and engaging format featuring 8 sessions led by industry experts and accomplished speakers who have fascinating stories to share. The speakers include Mark Fernandez, who's going to speak on capitalism 2.0, Ralph Reynolds, the Bienville Capital Management, Todd Erich from Rule One Ventures, Liz Faro from Divorce.com, Brad Israel from Warrior 360, Senator Katie Britt, a United States Senator representing the state of Alabama, her husband Wesley Britt, Mark, who you should know about. You should remember Wesley.
Tremendous offensive lineman.
He really was.
If I'm not mistaken, out of Coleman, Alabama.
He is from Coleman, Alabama. He is now a lobbyist and works for Fine Getty and Associates, Jeff Salzenstein, JRS Coaching, and John McInnes, the owner-operator of the Floribama. And you talk about a business, that business is probably as well-known business as there is on the Gulf Coast of Alabama, and John McInnes is wonderful. The doors will open at 7:30. The conference will kick off at promptly 8:30, and I can promise you, if Nathan Cott says it starts at 8:30,
you better be
in your seats at 8:25. You'll pay for breakfast, lunch, and a happy hour. That is January the 9th at the Grand Hotel, and you can register as soon as we get off the air. You certainly want to do that, and if you're a golfer like myself and Randy and Mark sometimes – the Lakewood Golf has 36 championship holes, and I'm telling you, we've had the opportunity to play that a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and I'm telling you right now, you will not walk on a finer golf course than Lakewood.
That practice area, they call it the experience.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
It is fabulous.
Yeah, so give you an opportunity as a business person to be there. Today, I want to just very quickly talk about a topic that I think all of us that are in what we both do, Randy does it in his business, and Mark and I have done it our entire life as coaches, you have to earn the right to lead. And, you know, just because you are in a leadership position does not mean that you're indeed a leader. You know, all members of your team play a role. And if you don't seek the feedback of your team members and make sure that their voices are heard, it really does widen the gap between you and the people that you are supposed to be leading. This is Steve Keating, and Steve Keating has a little thing called a failure to care. And one of the most basic truths of authentic leadership is that you can care for people without leading them, but you cannot lead them without caring for them. I want to read that again because it really slapped me in the face. I started thinking about some of the people that I know that are really authentic leaders, and it really comes to fruition when you think about the people that I was thinking about. One of the most basic truths of authentic leadership is that you can care for people without leading them, but you cannot lead them without caring for them. Attempting to lead people without caring for them causes the leader to actually manage people instead of leading them. And those kind of leaders would tell you that they do, in fact, care about their people, but their choice of words betrays them. We manage things. We lead people. We manage things. We lead people. We care about things. We care for people. The difference is not merely word games. The real difference is in the mindset. The mindset of caring for others is the biggest difference between authentic leaders and those who merely have a little have a title indicative of a leader. That's the best way to say it. When you consistently demonstrate that you care for people, the level of commitment you're able to gain from the people you lead goes way up, way, way up. People are not following you because of your title. They are following you because of what they have seen you do for others and what they have felt you do for them. Now, you know, guys, I don't know who you guys know. I know a lot of the people that you guys know. But in our business, Mark, if you don't care for people, and the people that you better care for are those people you're coaching, and if all you're doing is coaching to get a win by your name, then you're not going to be in our business very long and be successful. Because the people that coaches attempt to lead, if they manage them, they'll be mediocre at best. But if they care for those people that they're leading and they do those things, you know, and I don't see this anymore. I can remember 1,000 times coaches taking their trucks and loading kids up and bringing them to practice. And when practice was over, coach didn't go home right after practice. He had a truckload of kids he was taking home. And, you know, liability is liability. And we worry about that a lot in today's world. But it didn't seem to bother us for a lot of years to load our trucks up with children and take them home because they didn't have a way to get home. And sometime, I can remember in Prattville, you might have to go all the way to Otagaville with a load of kids.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, Randy, you know how far that is. Mm-hmm. That ain't a hop, skip, and a jump. It's a jump, 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 jump again. And you might get home at 9 o'clock. You might get home at 9:30. You hope you get to tuck your kids into bed. Most of the time you don't. But people that are leaders that care for their people are the people that make the world go around. I wonder, playing golf yesterday with a Coast Guard guy, and we were talking about politics, which I try to avoid. And he said, they don't care about us. He said, you can be in the military and understand that the military has to take care of us. They have to. People in government don't take care of us. And that's a shame. So that's where we are. And if you're an authentic leader, you care for the people that you lead.
Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Friday Night Lights, the whole town's here. Fans playing loud, you can feel the cheer.
The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
In my hand, drums pound the beat. I'm a warrior in the land.
Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Whistles blowing, crowd on his feet, sweat in the air, it's time to compete. But all that noise, it drifts away when it's just you and me in this four-quarter frame. Yeah, I know you felt me in the heat.
And a big happy new year to you. Good, beautiful Saturday morning as we welcome you to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Glad that you are hanging out with us. I am Randy Bergen, along with the superstars of this show, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Laster. Coach, in the last hour, we kind of got into a little bit of where does Alabama go with this NIL?
Well, you know, a year ago, an Alabama state representative filed a bill that would allow high school athletes to make money off of their image. Now, guys, listen, it all goes back to the basketball player in California. I think he was at UCLA, and I should know his name. But it goes back to the sports game where and you remember the name
it's
again.
NCAA football.
Football
or basketball.
Or basketball. And they were putting these players on videos, and they weren't being remunerated. They weren't being paid for it. So that's where all of that started. That was the name.
Ed O'Bannon.
Ed O'Bannon, that's right. That's exactly right, the basketball player at UCLA. And the name, the image of him on a recording playing a game of basketball, and everybody bought it and played it at home, and he got no money for it.
Correct.
So that's what name, image, and likeness is. We don't have anything like name, image, and likeness now in college football. And what we're doing now is it's filtering down into high school. It's all around us, guys. It's in Georgia. It's in Louisiana. I think it's – well, I shouldn't say I think. But I know it's in Georgia. I know it's in Louisiana. I think it's in about 24 states now for high schools mm-hmm. to pay high school players. And an Alabama state representative, Jeremy Gray, a Democrat from Opelika, put a bill for high school athletes. It's limited to the athlete and does not allow the use of marks, including a school logo, school name, school mascot, or trademark logo or acronym of an athletic association alongside other restrictions. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to keep Alabama in touch with the rest of the states in the United States that are playing are paying high school athletes. And I don't know how the schools do it, but I do know that we lost our best basketball player in the state of Alabama this past year to Georgia. And from what I understand, a shoe company is paying for him to play at Grayson High School outside of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've lost several more since that time. But so now the legislature says because it's already happening on the college level, and what better way to get kids trained to the mindset of NIL by starting in high school? Now, guys.
Let me ask you a question. How many high school athletes will have their name, their image, or their likeness on anything? How many do you think?
I don't have any idea.
I have no clue.
I really don't.
Meaning not a whole lot.
No.
Right? Not a whole lot. So that NIL is the wrong verbiage. I think you said it earlier, Rick. It's pay for play.
It is pay for play.
That's what it comes down
yeah.
to.
You know, at least.
Play for pay.
At least 30 states, including Washington, D.C., have legislation that allows high school students to make money off their image. Now, listen, I think that if there's a business using your image to make a profit, then you should be remunerated for the role that you play in helping that business make money.
Sure.
I don't care what age you are. I really don't. But that's not – I don't think you should pay kids – students to play high school sports. I just don't think there's a place for that. I'm telling you, you guys are Alabama fans, and I'm an Alabama fan when Auburn's not playing. I think it ran some great coaches out of college football.
I do. No doubt.
I think it ran them out.
There's no doubt about
that. You know, we've seen three college basketball coaches leave. The guy at Miami just left.
Instead of had enough.
Had enough. It ran Nick Saban out. You can say what you want to. How are high school coaches going to stay in the game if you've got two quarterbacks of equal stature, and there's some business that comes in and says, "Coach, we're giving this young player $50,000 to spread our goodwill, and you're not playing him? What do you do as a coach?"
Well, you want to look at him and go, "Well, y'all made the wrong choice."
That's right.
That's the first thing you want to say. Yep. Second of all, why are you paying him? And third of all, it's none of your business what I do. This is between me and the player and his parents. I'm not in the business of agents. You know, I've been a proponent of that ever since we started this thing. Who are you going to start having to talk to?
But what if now they paid the athlete, but they say, "Look, we're going to throw a chunk of money at you to make sure he plays."
And if the coach takes it, if the coach takes it, the coach is wrong.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling you. Because now you're getting into that old adage of, well, he only plays because he's the Boost Club president's son. Yeah, we've heard that since forever, you know, and that's not true. If it is true, shame on the coach.
There ain't no doubt.
You know, I'm just telling you. You play the one who's going to be, give your team the best chance to succeed. That's it, you know. And so if a coach takes money in an NIL deal, shame on him.
Well, and what it's gotten into is this, and let's just be real transparent here, okay? This is what's happening. Kids are not the ones getting paid. Families are getting
paid.
Sure
they are.
Families are getting paid. And the deal is, you bring your son, Randy, to my school, we'll give you a job. Now, this is happening at high school.
Yeah, it is.
Say what you want to say. You bring your child to XYZ high school. We're going to furnish you a place to live. We're going to give you a job making $25,000 more dollars than you're making right now. You're not going to pay anything to live. You're going to get a better paying job. All we need you to do is to enroll your child in our school, and you and your entire family move into a house that the president of the local bank owns, and there won't be any, he'll take care of all the housing bills. Hmm. But we just want you to bring your son, who's a hotshot quarterback or receiver or an offensive lineman, and we'll take care of all of your bills. You move into that location. And it's generally not the coaches doing this. It's somebody that may be training or working with the child in some shape, form, or fashion, and they bring them in. You got a much better paying job. Your whole family moves in.
Sure.
That's what's happening. And take it for what it's worth. And if we don't open our eyes and we don't have some people step up in leadership that are running the schools, and we've said this before, you've got to have the intestinal fortitude to step up and say, that's not going to be a part of who we are. That's what NIL is in Alabama right mm-hmm. now.
It's exactly that's, what it is.
So, you know, this legislator can do what he wants to. And this guy played football at North Carolina State. And he says he doesn't think it's fair that schools but not athletes are allowed to make money off of athletes. Now, I don't disagree with him on that. I don't at the college level. Right. I don't disagree with that. I really don't disagree with that at all. The Ed O'Bannon case is a perfect example of that. EA Sports, they made tons of money. And Ed O'Bannon didn't get any money off of it until he took him to court and won. I don't disagree with that at all. I just disagree with the way we're doing NIL in Alabama. And I don't see it changing. I really don't. I don't see it changing. Because I don't know that the schools can do anything about an outside person who's bringing a child to their school to play, and the coaches aren't involved in it. But when the kid gets on campus, if he's the best player,
he plays. He's not the best player.
He's not. He doesn't. That's plain and simple.
It's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Whether it is or not,
I don't. It's
that's
not.
Up to the individual.
It's
coach.
A wreck about to happen.
Yes, it
but,
is.
But when you got 17 or 18 transfers into your school from 17 or 18 different schools, something funny is going on
something
in this
time. Yes.
We'll continue the conversation right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. You know, Coach, one of the things we do want to get into is a high school player of the year.
Yeah, and the AL.com, these guys come up with some really interesting topics. And Ben Thomas, and guys, keep Ben's dad in your prayers. Mr. Don lives in Gainesville, Georgia, and he's having a tough time. And Ben's back and forth between Mobile and Gainesville. And guys, that's about a 7-hour drive. And
yeah.
Well, he's really having a tough time. Hope we'll we'll keep him in our prayers. But, you know, you talk about some really outstanding football players, and I'm going to go through a list of these. And what they're doing is they're having a tournament. They're having a tournament where people vote for the best or the Alabama player of the year. And there are 16 players in this. And so the people of Alabama are going to have the opportunity to vote for the best of Bama, the top high school football player for the 2024 season. Now, and Randy and Mark, it's just like you being in a tournament is what it is. And in the bracket, Alvin Henderson from Elba is the number one seed, Randy. And he's going against Preston Lancaster, a defensive back. And Preston Lancaster's a pretty doggone good football player and played at Tuscaloosa Academy, Mark. And you played against him this year. I'm talking about a really good football player. And then the number two seed is K.J. Lacy, the quarterback from Saraland, and who's committed to the University of Texas. And, guys, he played in this Under Armour All-Star game, and he was one of the best players on that football field. And he's going to go against A.J. Rice, who played for Bob Godsey at Madison Academy. It's just, and that's the brackets are going to be that way. The number three player is name offered. The defensive back from Parker, who's going to where is he going? He's going to Oregon.
He's the shoe deal.
Yeah, that's right. And he's going to be playing against the number 14 seed, who's a guy by the name of Omar Mabson, who's a running back from Auburn, who's a heck of a player. And I can tell you this, he's one of the top players in this class of 2025. He's a junior, but he reclassified, so he's going to be going to college this year. The number four player is Anquan Fagans. Now, guys, I don't know if y'all saw the Alabama-Mississippi game, but we talked about who I thought was the best high school quarterback I've seen in a long time in Deuce Knight. And Anquan Fagans, they were driving to win the game. Anquan Fagans had a vertical jump. I don't know how high he jumped, but he went up and intercepted a pass that Deuce Knight threw. And I'm telling you, I don't know that I've seen anybody on a football field jump flat-footed that high to intercept a pass. A great high school defensive back, Anquan Fagans from Thompson. He's going against, let's see.
Russellville's running back.
You got it right there.
Cam Finenzi.
Cam Peninzi, that's exactly right. He's a junior, had over 2,300 yards rushing this past year. And then Jordan Crawford, a defensive lineman, who is a man. I mean, he's a beast on the football field.
I'm going to tell you something. I saw all the seven on Super 7. To me, he was the best football player I saw in the whole tournament, especially at his position. He wrecked the entire ball game. He did.
Yeah,
they couldn't block him.
No.
Now, Miles Johnson from T.R. Miller, now he's one of my favorite kids on here. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the guys who tried to save lives a couple years ago when they had the tragedy down at the beach when they had a couple of kids drown from T.R. Miller down at the beach, and Miles was there trying to pull them out of the water. He pulled a couple of them out, and one he couldn't get to. But he's also a tremendous football player and a great kid.
And he's going to Florida. Committed to Florida.
Yep.
That's
yep.
exactly right. So that should be a heck of a matchup between Crawford and Miles Johnson. And then you look at E.J. Crowell.
Holy cow. What a running back this guy is.
And that's what he plays at Jackson.
He does. He's a sophomore.
Yeah.
Supposedly the top running back in that sophomore class. And
he'll be the number one prospect in the country is what I've heard about him, or at least the number one running back in the country.
And he's competing against Jaquez Wilkes, the running back.
Oh, my God, from Wadley. Holy cow. What's that guy?
He's not going to be a running back in college.
No, but, man, he can play just about what he wants.
He could. You look at him, he's an outside linebacker, defensive end type.
He is.
Two great players. Here's the most interesting matchup of all.
I agree.
The most interesting matchup of all to me when you look at this is Trent Seaborn, the quarterback from Thompson, is going against Gunnar Rivers. Now, both of these are sophomores. Both, I would think, are in the top 25 sophomore quarterbacks in the country.
I agree. I know we get to see Gunnar Rivers up close and personal the first game of the year next year. So I've watched him now for a couple of years. He is a really good quarterback. We've seen Seaborn in the state championships. The only time I ever really get to see him. What a guy. As an eighth grader, he led him to the state championship. And he's a 10th grader. Tremendous play. Both of these guys got great upside in that they're extremely talented and extremely smart. They're really good. They understand how to pick apart a defense.
And Seaborn led Thompson to a 7A state championship again this year.
Yes, he did.
Then the next quarterback, who I think is phenomenal, Landon Duckworth from Jackson. Mm-hmm. And he's going up against Eric Winters from Enterprise, who's committed to Auburn, who they say, many people say, he could be one of those freshmen that goes into Auburn and plays
right away. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So
Duckworth, and to me, as far as a skilled player,
yeah,
of all the skilled players I've seen, he may be the best. That guy can do it all. He can throw it. He can run it. He's smart. He's talented. He's got great size. He's going to be a senior this next
year.
Next year. And he'll write his own ticket, I'm just telling you.
Have you seen him on a basketball court?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
He's pretty doggone good.
And I think he runs track.
Well,
I mean, they've won 3 state championships at Jackson last year, football, basketball, and track, and I think he was on all 3 teams.
So what they're trying to do now is come up with who is the player of the year. Now, to me, that is
– That's hard.
How can you do that?
How could you pick one out of that list of all those and say that's the one we're going with? This gives the public, the fans, an opportunity to vote.
It's a great idea.
The first thing you think of, what do? As a coach, I'm going, okay, first thing, if I'm picking a team off this list, who's the one guy I got to have? That's what you got. Okay, and that's what I look at on here. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to vote for that, and then I'm going to go the next guy. Who's the next guy I got to have on my team? That's the only way I know how to pick.
All right, well, I'm going to put some pressure on you because I thought about this – about 11:30 last night. Who is the one guy of all 16 guys that I want to do what you just said, to lead my team to run? I'll tell you hands down who I said.
I'm going to tell you, I know who it is for me.
It's Landon Duckworth for me. That's who it is for me because he touches the ball
every single
play. And let me tell you something. He looks like a gazelle when he runs.
Shabam.
I mean, it's just
– he threw a ball against us a couple of years ago. I never go – he throws a seam route, and we got a guy hitting him. And he throws a seam route. The ball never got more than 12 feet off the ground, about 30 yards down the field. And our safety's a pretty good little player. And by the time he got turned to break on the ball, it's already past him. Boom. Just that fast. I'm like, Lord, what do you do?
And that does not shed any negative light on Gunnar Rivers at all. Because I think he's a great passer. I don't think he can touch Landon Duckworth as a runner right now.
He can't.
And Trent Seaborn's the same. I don't think he can touch him as a runner.
Each one of them will bring something to the table. They bring it a little differently. The next guy I got to have, I'm telling you, is Josh Crawford, the defensive lineman from Parker. I love that guy. I'm just telling you. I watched him in that state championship game, and I was like, holy. You know who he reminded me of? He reminded me of Peter Woods.
Oh, that's at Clemson. Right. That's right.
Yeah, went to Clemson.
Yep.
That's who I thought of, but I said, I think he might even be better.
Well, the one he reminded me of was the Pegasus guy who signed with Auburn out of Mississippi. Pegasus.
Yeah.
Now he's at Ole Miss. Oh, and he's killing everybody.
Killing.
I think he's number 89, isn't he?
He is 89.
Yeah, number 89.
Exactly. Now he's the number one.
He's Ole Miss 89.
There you go.
He ain't Alabama.
Don't hurt your feelings, Russ.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
want you to understand. I swear she must be
all heaven sent, boy.
That's a celebrity.
That right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just in the house.
Yeah. When Eric Lee walks in here, let me tell you something. He could press. He could play zone. And he would rather hit you in the mouth than he would shake your hand on a football field.
Well, I'm glad he just shook our hand.
I am too. I don't want to get hit in the mouth.
Because I'm telling you, and that boy that's with him, Justin Stanton,
he favorite might be, play. He might 30, be. 32 trap.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
His first place play. Yeah. His favorite play on earth, 32 trap.
Well,
and sometimes 31 trap, but most time it was 32 trap.
Well, let me tell you, that's two really good high school football players. Eric Lee goes on to Vanderbilt and plays and is an all-SEC player. You talking about a good-looking young man?
And then he went play for the pros? And the pros
I think he did, yeah. Yeah.
Boy, he is a good-looking young man. You know, this is something that I don't understand. Pat White's one of the best high school athletes to ever play in this area. He was a draft pick of the Kansas City Royals. He goes to West Virginia. He becomes, and I'm not so sure he wasn't, he's close to Eric's age. They're in there somewhere. Rich Rodriguez and Pat White has coached at every level. And the guys that we play golf with at Quail Creek, the guy that's a West Virginia fan who
– Clyde Pennington.
I've got a football. I need to get Pat to sign it and get it to him, or a jersey.
That would make his day
I've got to do that. But I don't understand – this. I just don't understand college coaching in this vein. Pat White's one of the most popular, most loved athletes to ever play at West Virginia. And he's coached at the college level. He's coached at the professional level. Why would Rich Rodriguez not hire Pat White to come to be an offensive analyst, if nothing else?
Wasn't Rodriguez his coach?
That was his coach.
Yeah.
How many games did that group of players –
They did pretty
they
good.
They were really, really good. And I just don't understand.
They put Rich Rod on the map.
They did put him on the map. That's exactly
you
right.
You want to know the truth of the matter? Think about what's happened since then.
Well, that's true, too.
I mean, but I'm not getting down on the guy. I'm just saying that bunch of kids and Pat White was the most instrumental in that group because that whole offense – worked off of what he could and could not do. And he could do it all.
He could.
I'm telling you, he's one of my favorite players I ever saw play high school football. I was so glad he graduated. I didn't want to see him ever again. But that guy could absolutely play football, and he played it the right way.
He did play it the right way. And you didn't see him doing all this stuff that they do when you do something good. I mean, he was here's football. I just don't understand Rodriguez not giving him. And maybe Pat doesn't want to coach. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it may be it. But I certainly think that would be one of the first calls he would make.
Yeah.
To bring back the guy that, you know, he ain't Pat McAfee. I mean, he's not that kind of guy. He's a quiet – I mean, he's such a good – he's a great young man. He gives back to this community. He's given and given and given. I'm puzzled by it. I wish I knew Rich Rodriguez and I could pick up the phone and say, why? Why have you not even offered Pat White a job? And he may have. I don't know. But, I mean, that would be the first time. If I'm going back to West Virginia – Pat, let's kind of get the family back together.
Yeah,
here.
Pat could get into Alabama and get him some players.
There ain't no doubt about that. All right. Pat White can walk in any high school.
West Virginia is not a hotbed for high school athletes.
Right.
You know, it's not one of those you're going to read you know, about, oh, they've got all these players, like, not like Georgia and Florida and Texas and California. You're not going to see them out there. You're going to have people who can go places and have instant credibility. And that's what Pat White's got. He's got instant cred. I really love that kid, man. I mean, he's a man now, but God, what a great football player.
It's great to sit here where we sit.
Yeah.
And to have two athletes like those two walking in. I know we love Justin.
Absolutely.
He's here every Saturday. And he's
always got a smile.
They got us tuned in outside. They always do.
He's effervescent. I mean, he is. He's got a smile on his face. He loves what he does. He loves his community. And he does for kids. He gives and gives and gives. Eric Lee comes back to town. They do free camps. They do everything they can to get kids involved in programs at their high school at Daphne. Just, that makes our day to me. That makes our day. When those kids come in here, they look in the eye and shake their hand. That's special kids. And then Pat White's another one of them.
You're right.
Good stuff.
Yes,
good stuff.
Is.
Hey, can I promote the show a little
Please
bit?
Please do.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock, Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Sweet Swing and Bobby Hall is going to be here. Matt Brandt's going to be here. We're going to talk a lot of college football. We're going to talk about the playoffs. We'll hear from Riley Leonard. Also, we'll have former Braves pitcher and Hall of Famer John Smoltz is going to be on with us. So we got a lot going on in the next hour. So we hope that you'll stay tuned and tune us in right there, Southern Fairway Sports Radio.
You know, we had two national champions last year in high school sports, and I still don't know. And listen, I've been for 25 years, we have said Alabama football is good. Yeah, Alabama high school football is good. Can't touch South Georgia. Can't touch Texas. Can't touch California overall. Now, I know you've got a different feeling about that in the sense, Mark, that we talked about this one year. Let's take the eight best teams from Alabama and play the eight best teams from Georgia. Who you think wins?
I think we split it. 50,
you split
50.
It 4-4?
Yeah.
Same thing with Florida?
Yeah.
Same thing with Texas?
Don't know about Texas. Texas is so much bigger. Schools are bigger.
And California.
Yeah.
But the ones that you would compare it to, Florida, Georgia, who else would be a common foe, you think? Tennessee? I think we'd do well with Tennessee and Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'd do well with those. I think you take the eight best teams. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, Jackson High School is going to be one of those eight best teams if we go into an eight. Play the. I want you to tell me the eight teams that you would play against the Georgia's eight best teams.
In the state of Alabama?
In the state of Alabama.
Now, are we going to match them up
this year?
Are we going to match them up versus schools of their own size?
No. No, I don't want it to be. I want to have an eight team. I want to have this in Baldwin County, Alabama. I want to have the eight best teams from Alabama play the eight best teams from Georgia or Florida, and then I want us to go back to Georgia or Florida and do it next year the same way.
All right.
And
top
just one game against. Then I don't care. I wouldn't be scared to play Jackson against whatever, whoever, to play games for Georgia. I wouldn't mind that. I really wouldn't.
All right, let's take Jackson.
All right.
Parker.
Absolutely, Parker.
Thompson.
That's three. Got to put Saraland in there.
That's what you have. Saraland's
four.
Sure. Central Phoenix City.
Five. I'm going to throw one at you.
Hang on.
I'm going to throw one at you that you're not going to agree with.
All right.
Mars Hill Bible. Simply because of the
too
way they
small.
Play off it. You see their offensive and defensive lines?
There's not enough depth.
Well, okay. I can buy that. So what you're saying is we got to play those 5A and 6A and 7As. Really, 6A's and 7A's have got to be our top eight teams and throw Jackson in there because they're extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Mars Hill, yes, if they played a school from 3A to 5A.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that.
But not a 7-8 team. Because they've got too many guys playing both ways.
What about Vestavia? What about Carver of Montgomery?
I would rather go with who was it? Gosh, my brain.
What about Auburn?
Auburn's one.
Okay.
I was throwing around Hoover and Spain Park, Hewitt Trustful.
So you would just say, let's take four Birmingham teams and play four of the best in Georgia.
Well, usually year in and year out, those four teams there's four teams that come out of the 7A groupings up there. They're always in the Final Four. It's usually Phoenix City, Auburn, Hoover, Thompson, or Hewitt Trustful.
Yeah.
Hoover or Thompson. Thompson's always in it.
Let me tell you this. Spain Park is really good. Spain Park is really, really good. But they're not good enough to beat those four teams.
No.
Now, they beat Hoover this year.
They did.
They beat them on the last series of the game. But and Tim is a heck of a football coach. And he turned them around completely. Talent-wise, they're not in line with Auburn, Central Phoenix City.
Who was the 5A state champion this year?
It was Montgomery Catholic.
That's a team. It's pretty stinking good. But, does their depth catch up with them?
It's interesting.
Jackson's different.
Jackson is
different. I'm telling
totally
you.
Totally different.
They two platoon. They got guys on both sides. They got about 70 kids out. 60, 70
They're
kids.
They're good.
Out.
You're right.
And so
that's an interesting concept.
It is. And
that may be when you retire – we can get Randy to be the CEO of that,
yeah.
And we'll have that tournament.
Okay, we'll put it together.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you'll be the play-by-play guy for every game.
I'll do that.
And you can have Barry and Russ, and y'all will just have
fun. Oh, Lord.
Hey, we got a special Camp Grace segment coming up with Mark Laster in just a second, so don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson.
You got to tell him Riley Leonard's involved in it.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
And it is time for our Camp Grace segment. And Mark, I know before we get into it with you, we've got a little clip we're going to play from Riley Leonard. Of course, Riley, Fairhope Pirate, now the quarterback for Notre Dame. And this is what he had to say right after the win over Georgia this past week.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, I wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be here as a whole group. But just to see these fans, you know, it's incredible. Like I always say, this is why I came to Notre Dame. We got a lot of work left to do. It was an ugly one, but we got it done. Once again, shout out to the defense. They played outstanding, and that's a really good team we played. So, man, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. This is a beautiful thing and a dream come true. Yeah, well, when you're struggling in the passing game, you got to put your body on the line, and whatever it takes to win, that's what I tell these guys all the time. And I try to lead by example and put my body out on the line. You know, hopefully lets these guys know how much I care about them, how much I care about this university. Yeah, when you trust in the Lord, anything can happen, and this team fought every single week. I mean, that was the lowest of the low, Nally. That, you know, we didn't know, but we had to trust beyond knowing. We trusted this group, trusted our fans, and, you know, week in and week out, we fought, and it's finally paying off. So hard work does pay off.
Anything through our Lord and Savior gives us a chance. Anything. And that's what Riley was talking about. And folks in Fairhope, Alabama, should be so – have always been proud of this young man. But more so now than ever, on the biggest stage in college football, he stands and professes his faith openly, honestly, raw, lays it out there. This is who I am. This is who I am. And, you know, as Tim Carter said, that's who he's always been. You know, I've read something that Tim wrote this week about that. And Tim Carter, it was his coach at Fairhope. And that's who he's been, you know. And Riley is just that guy who's going to be real wherever he is. We know we had him on the show back in 23 when he was at Duke.
Right.
And we just had him on the show. He had had a great season, and we had him on the show and talked to him that summer. He spent, I think, two segments with us talking about his faith and what it means to him in his sport. And as you listen to him talk, everything he says is so humble. I love that stuff. You know, we watched some great players play the last few weeks in these playoffs. I listened to them. And some of them, you know, I'm kind of like, God, great player, plays hard. I don't want to be around him. He's got an ego that's way too big, you know. I'm not a big fan of those guys. Some of those guys, that's what it takes for them to be successful. They got to have that chip on their shoulder that nobody can beat me, you know, where other guys like Riley and some guys that we've watched over the time are guys who say, look, I'm going to lay it on the line for you because you lay it on the line for me. I am no better than you. I am just glad to be here. This is a dream come true is what he said. This is a dream come true. And that's, he's playing for the school he wanted to play for. I think he always wanted to be at Notre Dame. I think he was loved when he went to Duke. Didn't Cut recruit him there?
Yeah, David Cutcliffe's the only guy who really offered
really recruited
him.
Yes.
Really did, as a quarterback.
And he recruited him not just because of he was a talented athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever watched him play basketball, you know the guy. He may be even a better basketball player. But he was a guy whose character is what carries him. He carried Duke on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Because of his character. He carried Notre Dame. That last drive, I was thinking of you, Rick, when I was watching that last drive Notre Dame had the ball. I'm sitting here thinking, they got about 8 minutes to go. They need to get some clock run out. This is where the O-line takes over.
That's right.
And your running backs and your quarter, they're going to turn around and hand it off, and they're going to knock you back. Well, Riley does his thing. He goes over there. That O-line's doing it, but he has to make a play.
Yeah.
And he hurdles that dude, gets hit, flips in the air, lands on his head, rolls over, jumps up with this huge cheese-eating grin on his face. Like, did you O-linemen see that? You know, and he runs over, and first people he's high-fiving are them. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, this is why I love college football. Please, college football, don't ruin yourself.
And he's the kid who gets on his bicycle and rides up to Ben Thomas's house and plays basketball with his little boy.
Yeah.
Same kid.
Same. And still, last summer, he was in town, got on his bicycle, rode down to the Wilkinson family, is a big Bayside
right.
family, and rides over to their house. And hangs out with Jack and John Ben and Daly and Chris, the whole family, Lucy, I think they were all there. And they hung out and ate dinner together and just talked. It was just some of the best things ever.
What's that say about Mama and Daddy? And Randy, you're familiar with his dad.
Yeah, he and I were texting after the ball game.
Right. And what's that say about his foundation?
Mama and Daddy did it right.
Ooh.
They did it right. I mean, I don't know them. I've never met them, but I'm so you see him and you go, yeah, Mom and Dad did that right. And they did. They raised a fine young man, and he has all the intangibles of all the things that you want to see in a young man or young lady in anything that they do, but especially when they're on the biggest stage of college football. You want to see that kid be that mean I was sitting there, and my youngest son Brian walks in. He goes, Dad, I don't like Notre Dame, but I love Riley Leonard. He says we're pulling for them, Dad. That's our team for the playoffs. And I go, I'm with you 100%, buddy. Let's do it. And I was just, you know, here's my youngest son, 20, who loves college football.
Yeah.
And he knows Riley. I think he may have been in school while Riley was there.
Yeah.
You know, he knows who he is. Didn't know him personally, but he's like, Dad, that guy, you just got to love him.
You know, we have a sponsor on our show, Skipper Walters of Walters Control, who
is a huge, huge, huge Notre Dame fan, but as humble a person as you'll ever want to meet. And I sent him a text during the game, and he just said, awesome game. He didn't blow smoke. He didn't make any big deal out of it. It was just, what an awesome game. But you see people like that, that makes you want to pull for them. How sure could you not want to pull for a Riley Leonard? And if you know Skipper Walters, how could you not want his team to do well? There's something about those kind of people that are so selfless.
Yes.
So selfless that it's just they're a magnet. They're a magnet to those of us who love the game.
That's right. I think we said last week, too, Riley plays the game like a kid.
Yeah, he does.
You know? I mean, he's like a kid. Yeah. Yep. So,
great job, stuff. Riley. Good luck this week. I think they play Thursday night. I think it's this next Thursday night they play.
They play Penn State, right?
That's going to be a fun game to watch.
It'll be a slobber knocker.
It will be.
Randy, thank you. You make the show what it really is. Great show today. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, first of all, pray for New Orleans. Pray for our country.